What we wanted to do this morning is a bit different. It's just share some of our experience out there, because like we prayed before we went, yeah, there might have been 11 of us there, but we went on behalf and with the church very much with us. I can say you were very much in our thoughts and prayers, particularly of some of the things that were happening, and we're going to come to them at the end. But what I've asked is that Bob and Nettie, Bill and Sheila, Dave, Marie's on well, unfortunately. I think it's a mixture of jet lag and Dave coughing all night, but that's Rosemary, and we're going to read out what Dave and Wendy thought, and then Jacqueline and myself are just going to come and say some things on the end of this. But what I've asked them to do is just take a couple of minutes and share something personal and something general from their time over there. But what we thought would be good is, and this is where we entrust in technology, is that Matt has put together a wonderful little thing of video clips and photos that I've given him. So just to give you a flavour, this will be of the church, of the conference, of the grounds, of just us generally, just to give you a flavour of what we experienced and ate. That just give you, I mean, Matt did a brilliant job. You only need about 4 days to put that together. So thanks, Matt. And as you can see, I'm not the steadiest of cameramen when I'm moving about. So that was just to give you a bit of a flavour. But, like I said, I've just asked each couple, each person, just to take a couple of minutes to share what was a general impression and what was a personal impression from their time. So, Bob and Nettie.
One of the things when we were in Reading was I needed to have a leash on my husband because he would go walkabouts. I kept thinking, you're not Australian and going around and disappearing, but I think he learned his lesson by the end of the week. One of the general things that I picked up from Bethel was actually the surrounding area in Reading. Reading isn't anything to be considered an attractive place to go to. We've got a Lonely Guide, Planet of California, and it's got a little bit about Reading, and you really just go there and come out. The sights are not there. But what really struck me was the effect that Bethel had on the area of Reading. We went to pick up our hire car at Enterprise, and the young lady says, why are you in California? Why are you here? And we said, we'd come for a conference. And she immediately knew that we'd been to the Open Heaven conference, and she talked about her sister being part of the community there. And when we went for a meal at a Thai restaurant, a young waitress that we got to know, she ended up coming to Bethel the next day. It was so lovely that the impact wasn't just in the church, it was felt in the city, the town itself. And it just reminded me of a picture I had many, many years ago of the same thing happening in Rugeley, where we would be able to go out into the shops, to the schools, and we'd be meeting people who were Christians or knew about God, and that how that would impact us on our daily lives, that we weren't just going to have fellowship on a Sunday, we would have that fellowship wherever we went because the impact of the church was there. So seeing it in Bethel and in Reading makes me realise that it's possible and probable, and not probable, but will happen and can happen here. On a personal level, I just was really blessed with at a Zozo session, and the person who was down to do the session actually nabbed another lady, so I was sort of on my own with a Zozo lady trying to find her client, and then we were matched up together, and it was a real blessing time for me. And the same thing happened when I went for the healing room. You go into a room where there is a large selection of people praying. And then they come to those who want to be prayed, and they sort of pick you up because they think you're the person that they should be praying for. And I ended up on my own again. And but I was really blessed by two very lovely young people who prayed for me, and prayed not on the list of things I had on my piece of paper for healing, but just prayed for me a real power. I can't put into words what they prayed, but they didn't pray for the healings, like the physical healings I wanted. They just prayed blessings and blessings over it. It was just lovely.
I can't start without saying God is good. You know, God is good, good, good. God is good. And the people in Bethel really express that and really believe that. And it's so true. God is good. And they really want you to grow in the depth of your relationship with the Heavenly Father. And what really struck me was their generosity of spirit. You know, I think one of their vision statements, I don't think they quite have it like we do, but I think one of those sort of things that they write up about the church is we want to grow. And they don't mean numerically, they mean in their depth of relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that really struck me as something so special. And the generosity of the Spirit was born out in a very practical way. They've got a big, well, it's not that big actually, but there's a bookshop there, and a lot of the people there write books and all the rest of it. But you go to the bookshop and you got 10% off for turning up on a Sunday as a first timer. I thought, well, that's all right. And then when you went to the conference, they gave you sort of like a card that gave you another $7 off. And then you queue up to pay, and she says, are you a pastor or a leader? And I says, well, I occasionally lead worship. She says, that's another 10% off then. You know, such is their generosity of spirit. It's just born out in a very practical way. And the senior leader, Bill Johnston, he gave away his latest book to every family represented there on a Sunday. And I worked it out roughly, you know, very, very roughly. And that is equivalent to them. This isn't profit. This is what they would take if they sold those books. That's approaching £50,000. You know, such is their generosity of spirit. And they want you to grow. So they think that will help you to grow. So they give it to you, which is sort of really, really special. And I think on a personal note, there's lots of things, to be honest, but something that, you know, Nettie mentioned the healing rooms, there's an area, it's almost like a, I don't exactly want to call it a holding area, but it's an area separate to where people pray for you. And it's their main auditorium that they use on a Sunday morning. And there's it's all just sort of as led by the Holy Spirit. There's musicians playing and singing. There's lots of people painting in the middle. There's several dancers around the place. And they're either dancing, they might come and dance over particular people. But the whole creative atmosphere of worship really struck me, and it was while we were worshipping on the Sunday morning that I felt I just got something new about worship. And I was down at the front, and I was worshipping, and yeah, we were offering our praise and worshipping God, and yeah, that's nice, but all of a sudden I just felt captivated by God's love. And what I could see was that his eyes were on the church. And I had this impression of like two dancers really working together well. They're partnering together. And one was the Heavenly Father, and the other one was the church, which was his bride. And the bride was made up of so many different facets, you know, all these different aspects of worship that I'd experienced. But it was the intensity of the love in the Father's eyes that was directed on the church. And as we were worshipping, it was as if all of a sudden the Heavenly Father noticed his church and said, I love you. I desire you. You know, I really fancy you. He was really intimate, and such was his heart for the church. And that was really special for me.
Thank you, guys. Just to say that when Nettie talks about Sozo ministry, that's a Holy Spirit-led ministry that we do use in this church. And Sozo is Greek for wholeness, so it's wholeness of body, soul, and mind. So, Bill and Sheila.
I just want to say it's good to go away, but it's wonderful to be back. And this morning when I came in, not feeling too great, to be honest, I just had such a lovely welcome. So thank you very much for that. And just as I was watching that video up there, I'm not joking, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, because it transported me back to that place where we were worshipping. And the feeling is sort of quite indescribable, really. I mean, on a general basis for me, initially I was a bit disappointed that the conference wasn't going to actually be held at Bethel Church, because it wasn't big enough to hold all the people who wanted to go to the conference. So, you know, that is just amazing, really. So obviously we were in a different building that could accommodate us. And I'm not sure how many. There must have been round about 2,000 people in there. But they were from around about 32 different countries. And I thought, wow, you know, these people are from all across the world, and here we are worshipping in this place. And people were queuing from apparently 7 o'clock in the morning to get in for a 10:30 start. So, you know, it just blows your mind away, really. The people are just so excited, and they're just so expectant, because they're thinking, they're not thinking, oh, well, maybe God's going to do something today. He is, but hey, we're just waiting to see what he's actually going to do. And, you know, for themselves, as well as what he was going to do for everybody else. So that was just totally amazing. On a personal level, I think I'd have to say for me, where I encountered God was definitely the prayer room. And before I went, I was trying to imagine what this prayer room could be like. Knowing how many people go to the church there at Bethel, I was thinking it must be an enormous prayer room. But in actual fact, it's not. I mean, it's smaller than this area that we've got here. But somehow, it works. And it has such a special feel about it. But it's kind of people drift in and they stop a while and they sort of soak and rest and they go off and more people drift in and out. But you don't kind of notice. It's no sense of hurly-burly where you can't be quiet. But anyway, basically, I said to Father God, you know, I'm in this amazing place here, this special place, and would you transport me to somewhere supernatural where I've never been before? And he did. I mean, it was just, it's hard to describe, but he definitely took me from there to some heavenly realm. And I assure you, I wasn't asleep, I was wide awake. And the colours and impressions were, well, they were just indescribable. It was so beautiful and so serene and peaceful. I sort of said, I was trying to hang on to it. I want to stay in this place because it's so absolutely fabulous. But sadly, he didn't keep me there because I'm back here now. It was the sort of place, well, to me, in my mind's eye, I could only describe it as heaven on earth, really, the sort of place that you want to linger. And I did linger there a while, but sort of all too soon it seemed to be over. But I felt that I had a really totally different encounter with God than I ever had before.
Thinking it through, and Sheila and I talked about it, and actually the one thing we came up with, certainly as a main overall thing, is that we felt that out there, their expectation of how much God would work is so much greater than ours. Their expectation is greater, because our God is the same. But likewise, I think they also expect that to flow through them more as well. So that would be... As far as the conference is concerned, and hear what I say, what I don't say, I actually didn't really find, yes, it was slightly bigger and presented more professionally, shall we say, in Bethel than it was in the two we've been into the UK. But to be perfectly honest, I think the first one I went to in the UK had more effect on me. And I would say to anybody, if you can get to one of the Bethel conferences next year in the UK, do not think it is second best to the Bethel conference they hold in America. You know, I would encourage you to go, because the messages were as good and the worship was kind of as good. So, yeah, my first one is that as far as the conference was concerned, yes, it was good, but the UK ones are as good. Please go. As far as the church is concerned, it's different. There are some things that I think, yes, we could grab hold of that. And there are other things, actually, to be perfectly honest, I thought, you know what, we've got it better here than they've got there because of the size. So do not be discouraged as far as that is concerned. There are some things I think we do better here because we're smaller. But yeah, there are some challenges there as to the way they think that we will have to look at as far as that's concerned. As far as me personally is concerned, I've been on a journey probably for 18 months, I suspect. Yeah, kind of that time. So this was part of a process, and it's just moved me on a bit more. I couldn't say there's a massive piece here or whatever, but it's just a constant show me something, think about it, move on, show me something, move on. But for me, prayer room, probably having time in there when I wouldn't have that much time here challenges me to do that. And I think actually, because it was somewhere else, rather than, oh, well, I'll just pop down to the lounge and have a bit of time, it was different. I certainly had a lot longer, and I know God spoke to me on two or three things in that prayer room, and that's something we need in this church.
Thank you, guys. Dave?
I went to Bethel with an open heart and an open mind. I wanted to just go back to the roots and get in touch with Father and see what he had to say to me. And I must admit, before I went, I was a bit sceptical about prayer room. I thought, why do you need a special room to pray? But for me, it was a particularly special place. Like Sheila, I didn't know what to expect. But the first afternoon we went in there, and I just sat down, and you're looking out the window, and you see the mountains in the background, and this beautiful garden in front of you. And I said to Father, I says, what do you want to say to me? What am I here for? And I framed up in the window frame just what I could see there. And this beautiful garden, the mountains in the background, and the tree. And it reminded me of what I imagined the Garden of Eden to be like. And I was prompted to read Genesis there and then. And especially the creation of man and the fall of man. And God just spoke to me and said, I've created you to walk with me, to commune with me, and to talk with me. Just as he did with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He walked with him in the garden. They talked with each other. And the thing that struck me particularly was, when God had formed Adam, he breathed life into his nostrils. In that intimate action, the breath of God brought life to Adam. Into his very being, every cell in his body, the blood flowing around his body, carrying that life of God. I believe that's what you're saying to me. That's how I want you to be. And I believe that's what he's saying to you. That's how he wants you to be. Every breath you take, I want it to be a part of me. And that theme was followed up right throughout the week. In fact, since we've been back, it's been carrying on. And some of the examples were in the songs. Every seminar related in some way or other, except one, I can remember, related some way or another to what I was exactly thinking, what I'd read about in creation. And some of the songs, there was one there, Since Your Love, and it goes, I was made by you, I was made for you, I am unfulfilled without full communion. And I say it's continued since we've been back. Rob led worship at the small group in the week, and he chose all the songs. I hadn't spoken to Rob or anything, and he chose this one, This is the air I breathe, this is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. And even this morning, the first song, unveiling us why we are made. God's unveiling to me why He made me. He wants this deep, intimate relationship, not just flitting in and out. But the prayer room allowed you to have that deep, intimate relationship. There were no distractions. You could just get lost in God. And it's fantastic. And it carried on. We went to the bookshop. And when the books are picked up, hundreds of books there. First page I turned to, and it's a book called Dreaming with God. And the passage was the Tree of Life. And it says, desire fulfilled is a tree of life. That's Proverbs 13:12. Solomon's words revisit the subject of the Tree of Life found in Genesis. It connected Adam and Eve to eternity. After eating the forbidden fruit, the angel of the Lord guarded the way to the Tree of Life so that Adam and Eve would not eat its fruit. It made eternal whatever touched it. It would make their sinful condition permanent, an eternal, unredeemable state. Here we are told that a believer will experience the Tree of Life as their desires are fulfilled. This implies that those who taste the wonder of fulfilled desires in Christ will be given eternal perspective and identify through that fulfillment. The process of surrender, personal transformation and fulfilled desires is the training ground for reigning with Christ forever. I'll just say that last bit again. Just grab a hold of this. The process of surrender, personal transformation and fulfilled desires is the training ground for reigning with Christ forever. I'm back to school. I want to be in that training ground. On a general sort of note, oh, by the way, I did bring Marie back. She isn't left in the cell at Alcatraz. It was their passion for everything that sort of amazed me. The passion for eating, the passion for four-wheel drive cars, the passion for that game of rounders, baseball. But in the church, it was a passion for everything, the passion for prayer, the passion for worship. You look around the grounds, the building, the passion just exudes in everything they do. Everything that they do, you can see as a passion for Christ outworking in them. Gardens were immaculate. But yeah, it was a passion.
Thank you, Di. Rosemary.
My general impression of Bethel was very different to what I thought it might be. Some of you will know that I was really apprehensive before I went, because my experiences of American churches in the past have not been good. And I thought, oh dear, another one. But it was very different. It was more like coming here, really, but bigger. They were very friendly people. And my impression, general impression, was that it was a safe place to be. I could be me. I hadn't got to be like them or like anybody else, come to that. So it was a safe place, and it was a kind place. I can't describe it any other way, really. Everybody was kind and thoughtful and treated you well wherever you went. That was my general impression of the place and of the conference as well. It was all the same, really. It's very difficult to pick out one personal thing, because we were so busy going here, going there, doing this, doing that, going to another meeting, going to a different place, that everything seemed to sort of go into one. And I knew that it was when I got back here that God would speak to me, which He did. And I just feel that there was a shift somehow in me when I was in Bethel. I don't quite know how to describe it or what it was, but there was a kind of a shift. And when I got back, I just knew that what I wanted was more of God. That's all, really. Nothing else, nothing special, particular, but just more of God. And I don't really know how that will work out, but we'll find out, I dare say.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Do you want to come? But Dave and Wendy have emailed us theirs. I just want to reiterate, we didn't go to become a Bethel church, to come back to be a Bethel church. It's about kingdom. And, you know, what the guys are sharing are attributes of kingdom. And it's the same God here as it is there. So Jacqueline's going to read Wendy's.
I hope you're feeling like, I feel like it's, we've gone on holiday and we're coming home to family and we're showing you our pictures and we're telling you our experiences. So does it feel like that? Because that's, I'm hoping that's what that's what it is. It's we're back home and we just want to share everything that's happened to us. And we're excited, and we hope you're excited as well. So this is Wendy. She says, The overall effect of Bethel has both impressed me and made its mark on me. The culture of the people there demonstrate a heart relationship with Father God through the ways in which they greet each other, pray so naturally with one another, and work in the local community. I love the way we came across Christians working in shops and cafes in Reading and found ourselves talking so naturally about the church. They were so comfortable to live out their faith at work. And then personally, one experience I would like to share is when a member of the Bethel team prayed for me. We 11 Brits were sitting on the grass enjoying our lunchtime picnic on the first day of the conference, and Brianna approached us all and we got chatting and offered to pray for us individually. And she shared a picture about the well that was deep and overflowing, that God wants me to enjoy his creativity within me and to explore it and to rest in his love. And he wants to release others into these things too. And it was wonderful. And she says, see you next Sunday.
Dave says, General, when I was at Bethel, the impression I had come away with is freedom of folk. We at Rugeley Community Church are experiencing a freedom in lots of areas, but it was great to see and experience folks of faith further down the road. I was surprised by the willingness of people to pray for others and the openness to step out and listen to what God is saying for themselves and others. And then personally, Dave says, I've come away with a stronger sense of God's heart and a desire to go deeper with him. I've experienced this desire to push in deeper with God before, but have allowed the busyness of life to overtake me. I am praying that I will be wiser this time to continue to see all the amazing things God is revealing about himself through the scripture, talks, and folks around me. And Dave says, have a great Sunday.
And for me personally, I think this last year or so, my journey has really been into freedom and what that looks like in regards to a relationship with God and freedom into relationship with God, I think. And freedom generally means it's a state of not being imprisoned or enslaved by anything. And I think one of the things that I was learning more and more, and I think Bethel just really sort of contributed to my realization, was that freedom means no space. God wants no space between him and me, no space between me and Jesus, no space between me and the Holy Spirit. And it's because he wants that intimacy and he wants that connection. And that's something that, as we've heard, you know, we've seen a lot in the people. But that was that's what I've been longing for. I want that intimacy and that connection. And when we think about God, you know, how do we see God? Is he distant or is he close? And my desire is to explore that intimacy and that closeness. So that sort of was reinforced, really. And it was also helpful to be reminded that Satan isn't God's equal opposite. Actually, he's a created being and he's a defeated foe. And Satan just has this desire to want to cause us to be disconnected and have that distance between us and God. That is his main endeavor, is to cause that space. And whether that's through the lies of the enemy, whether it's through disappointment, whether, you know, it can be whatever, but he'll do his utmost to create that space and that disconnect. And we were hearing of everything that was going on in the church here. And, you know, Sheila was quite unwell throughout the whole time that we were there. And there were things going on in each one of our families at home. And we were just, it provoked us to a sort of like a holy anger and caused us to want to pray about what was going on. And we really mustn't underestimate the power of prayer. And I think one of the things, which was again talked about in one of the conferences, but really for me, just as a reminder that with Satan, you know, we must not give the enemy any advantage, no advantage, no permission, no opportunity, and no place in our lives, because we come to a great God. And in Isaiah, it says something, there's a verse that says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And it doesn't say that no weapon will be formed, but it does say it will not prosper. And so my encouragement to all of us as a church is, you know, we are, the enemy hates it when he loses control. He hates it when he loses territory. And as a church and as a people, we've been advancing in the kingdom of God. And so it's no wonder that we've been experiencing some attacks. But our encouragement is we come to a good, good God. And that's our heart, is to just unpack what that actually means to each one of us. So I was really blessed.
I do just want to take a couple of more minutes and then we are going to pray. I think for us as a couple, to be out there 3 years later, you couldn't, and have the folks around with you, you couldn't but help look back and see how far God has taken us in 3 years. And yes, we're on a journey, and yes, there are things that need changing still, and there is that, and there is this. But actually, you couldn't help look back and say, well, actually, God has done this with us in 3 years. And what was also encouraging for us was them as a church. They had moved on. They were in a different place. I think we'd have been a bit concerned if they were still as they were 3 years ago. But no, they've moved on. And I think the one thing that Father was saying to me, which tied in a bit with the family and what it was all going through really at the time, and I mean personal family and I mean church family. And throughout the whole time, Father just kept saying this sentence to me. He said, live life celebrating who you are and what you have. And I thought, that's simple. I can do that. But then he said, don't partner with what you don't have or with what you don't see happening. Don't speak or agree with the negative. How you speak, this is to me, what you speak affects the atmosphere and shapes the culture of the church family. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to deny what's going on. I'm not denying there's been sickness in this church while we're away. There's a number here today who are not here because they're sick. It doesn't mean I'm going to deny the circumstances that's in your lives and in our lives at this present time. But what I feel Father was saying to me is, don't partner with them. Don't agree with them. Don't make them your main focus, as in leaving me out. And I said, well, Lord, how do I do that? And he said, it's about filling your mind with him over and over again, so that my mind, my heart, change because the truth of his word and his Holy Spirit changes my mind and my heart. So that what God says in his word becomes more than what I quote, it's what I live in my life. See, whatever we think about, whatever we focus on, has a big effect on our attitude and our consciousness. Yeah, faith doesn't come from the mind, but actually what we think and what our attitude is does have a great effect on our faith. See, the devil wants you to be overwhelmed. Who's been overwhelmed this week? Yeah, the devil wants you to be overwhelmed. That's his work on this earth. And I look back at these last 3 years, and I'm just blown away by what Father has been doing. You know, we're in a different place. We've seen miraculous healing in this church. We're physically in a different place. We've taken territory, and the kingdom is advancing. And you know, Satan knows that. So if he can undermine your and my hope, he has influence over what you and me think, which will ultimately have an effect on our faith. See, the devil's ploy is kill, steal, and destroy. And we are fed a constant diet of news about death, loss, and destruction. They're all the devil's fingerprints. And you know, when we were away, Jacqueline was right, we were wholly mad, if that's such a phrase, or away. But we were, because we could see his fingerprints all over this church. But you know, that's all they are. Satan cannot grab hold of anything in this church or in your life unless you allow him, unless you're in agreement with him. You can only give him the right if you allow him to have the right. He has no authority. See, he's such a good at mimicking. We see all the good that God's doing in this family, in this building, and he's not happy. So he wants to mimic that he has the power. He has the authority. That's a lie. He doesn't. He is not worthy of our affection or our agenda. He's not worthy of having any influence on mine or your thoughts, plans, or actions. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. Does that mean we won't face challenges? Yes, we all face challenges. We all face sickness. It's the world we live in, I'm afraid. Sometimes the problems are very personal, and they can be heart-wrenching. Sometimes they affect the lives of people close to us. We've had that in the last 3 weeks. Sometimes they are to do with a real crisis. But you know, we will have no remedy in these problems, in these crises, in these circumstances, if they overwhelm us. We have to be convinced of God's overriding goodness as well as the abundant presence of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When we stay conscious of Him in our ill health, in our circumstance, in our crisis, we are able then to partner in the answer. So the challenge was, to me, and I think to us, is we live a life in that closeness with Father, aware of the Holy Spirit, who is in us and upon us, more than the problems around us. We got to be a people, I've got to be a person, that looks at every situation in looking to the Holy Spirit, to recognize the one in whom there is all safety, victory, and joy. To recognize the one who continually positions us for triumph to the glory of Jesus' name. Therefore, the encouragement to me and to us is to stay more aware of God than of the problems that we face. Because whatever we focus on determines whether we are in victory in or a victim of the problem that we're going through. So, Rosemary, I'd like you to come and bring that word, please, and then we're going to pray.
When I was at the conference, I had a picture. It was a picture of a huge white bird, and I was looking down at it. I could see the back of the bird and its tail and the head, and it was looking down at the conference centre where we were, which put me in mind of what you said about God having his eyes on us. It was looking down, and something was dropping from its mouth, little bits of what looked like white paper, and I knew that it was truth. And then the conference centre sort of receded into the distance, and I could see the whole earth spinning in space, and the white bird was still there, but was so huge I couldn't see the end of its tail, I couldn't see where its wings finished. It was just huge. And then we grew closer again, the world sort of got closer, and it was over here, this building. And I thought, yeah, truth dropping down. I thought, what does this all mean? You know, what are you actually saying, God? And I think what he said was, what I give Bethel, I give you. You are not inferior. You are not second best. My promises for them are my promises for you. You are so loved. You are the apple of my eye.
Okay. As I've said, this isn't about being Bethel. And the difference with Bethel is that you don't go there for an impartation to bring back to people. As you, I hopefully have caught, it's what God does with people in their hearts. And he's the same God here who wants to do in our hearts. Because when our hearts are changed, we affect those around us. We change the culture. We change the atmosphere because of what Father is doing in our hearts, in my heart. But we have been in an atmosphere where there's been healing and we've experienced a deepness of the Father's love. So what I want us to do is, I'm going to pray, then I want us to declare something you're going to read after me in truth. Then we're going to pray for the sick who are not here. And then we're going to pray for the sick and the circumstances that some of you are facing who are here. And some of you are going to have tea and coffee while that's going on. Some of you might not be. Some of you will be here. So I want to pray this. If you feel you want to lift your hands, then please lift your hands. Father, I pray that you'll help us to stay aware of the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. We do not want to become victims. May we live in such a way that your purpose and plans for the world around us come into fruition. Thank you for letting us be part of the company of people who live to change the world. May you receive all the glory for every area of breakthrough in and through our lives. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. If you feel comfortable, I want you to say this after me, because it's speaking truth. I am uniquely designed to carry the presence of God. I am uniquely designed to carry the presence of God in a way that helps others to become victorious. In a way to help others to become victorious. Giving you, Father, all the glory. Giving you, Father, all the glory. I embrace this privileged assignment. I embrace this privileged assignment for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yeah, Lord, greater is the one in us than the one that's in the world. Sickness is not from you or caused by you. So, Lord, we want to speak to those that we've called out and those that maybe we haven't, who are not here this morning because of ill health. Lord, we want to speak wholeness over them. We want to speak healing into them. We want to speak that your name be glorified through them in what healing you bring to them. So, Lord, we ask you, may light come in to the darkness of ill health and any circumstance that is keeping others away, in Jesus' name. Amen.